Good evening, buonasera, Mike. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good. It's been a long week already. It's Monday.
It's already Monday. It's gone. The weekend is already gone. But on the positive side, we can say was a good week. We wait to be better Sunday, actually. No, wow. Because we were waiting Dragons Shark, but
needed some favors called in, didn't we?
Oh, come on. It was hard to think about that game. Because yeah. Shark was playing really crappy. Really well, crappy the beginning. At least the first half. They fixed it a little bit, but wow.
Discipline was poor. But yeah, I don't know if there's been any sort of backhanded a couple Euros been thrown somewhere. I'm checking. But, they definitely called in some favours and hopefully we'll see what happens.
Favors, that's what we want to see. Sometimes some favors. So we said the Italian Challenge Cup. That is the title of this episode of the podcast, because for the again we have two teams qualified, which is not cool, more than cool, because that's great. Yeah. That's great. Two different ways to qualify. What do you think about the il percorso, Mike?
Yeah, I gotta be honest, I was sweating a little bit that it was going to be both Zebre and Benetton playing each other, because obviously as nice as it would have been to have a guaranteed person in, you know, the semi-final, at the end of the day what we want is to see the Italian teams go as far as they possibly can in this competition. So I was happy that didn't happen. And then, like you said, there was a bit of sweat over the next day or two to see if we were actually able to qualify. But, you know, sweat, determination from the team. And Zebre deserve to play in the Challenge Cup. They deserve it.
I agree with you, because at the end of the day, they fight. Actually, maybe the worst game of the season was the one against Cheetahs, because we were with high expectation, and then we saw that Cheetahs qualified too and everything. But was a good Challenge Cup for Zebre. They learned a lot from these games, even from the last game, from the last, because they'd have to kick better for sure. That is something they have to focus on, the kickers, I can say. What do you think?
Yeah, especially the last game. I said to you privately, I think that's the best game I've seen them play in a long, long time. And regardless of results, you know, at the end of the day, yes, they left points off the tee, and we can say it's this or that, and you can always point fingers, right? But as a team, you know, under a bit of pressure, a young team under pressure, they showed their salt. They showed what they were made of. And that's growth beyond anything. Because last year, Zebre would have capitulated and they would have fallen.
Oh my God.
They would have fallen to the ground. They wouldn't have fought and they would have lost by a big, big margin. But they came back. They showed resolve. And yeah, they were just unfortunate. Last kick of the game, wasn't it? That accounted for it. But
yeah, as you can, as you said, like a young team. Think about in the last action, like Thomas Dominguez, Sons of Diego, passing that ball that is always perfect, because you want the ball to move outside, the Pani sliding on the outside of the defender, offload. The end is perfect, but the best thing there maybe was trying to attack the line, Dominguez, instead of passing that ball to have something closer to trust in the scrum, maybe because there was an advantage there to make easier for the kickers. But in general, yes, they were really close every time. Unlucky for the bounce, the first rebounds of the ball for the first try was pretty lucky, I think. And not usually looking slide, leaving you the inside when they create the break. But hey, good stuff. Oh, and here we go. We have March I just see the message. Marcello, welcome here.
This is what I'm going to do every time now. I'm just going to wear UK cups.
I respect it. I had to change not to offend people with my rugby league shirt, but you can offend Otto all you want.
Look, I can offend everybody. I love to offend, right? I'm an offender. No, absolutely not.
That's something different there.
Yes, absolutely.
So there is one point I really want to quickly latch on to, and March, actually, you've come at a really good time. So last year, Six Nations, France, first opening match, penalty under the post. We play the phases, we play the multi-phases, and we end up, I think it was passing it out to the wing. We score the try, we miss the kick, we lose the game. Basically the same thing has happened. The only difference is, and this is where I want opinions, like both your opinions, right? I'm very much, when it comes to like sports, thinking that, you know, a bird in the hand is worth two in, you know, the bush, right? So if you've got the points, they're worth more than not having the points. That's why I'm always slightly more conservative. If three's on, try and, you know, keep it going, unless you're miles out of sort of touch. But what are your opinions? Like, do you think that's something that we should have learned from the under-20s last year and just maybe had a look and said, right, okay. Or is, if the try's on, you always score regardless of what? Like, what are your opinions on that?
Depends, I guess. If we're talking about under-20 level, which I'm assuming we are.
Look, like...
Sorry, I'm talking about Zebre. So, because Zebre basically had a penalty under the sticks, and they passed it out to the wing.
All right, sorry, we're about Zebre. Sorry, I thought we were on.
I was drawing parallels.
Yeah, we were completely.
Okay, yeah. Got you. I think given Zebre, when you're playing competition rugby, and essentially Zebre were playing as close to a knockout match as possible, I think I would also be erring on the caution of, if you've got points on offer, just go for it. Especially given there was time on the clock. There was time on the clock to maybe go back and go again. If it's an easy free, guaranteed three, then I'm normally for it. But again, depends on the team, doesn't it? I mean, if there's a philosophy like Zebre have, they want to play as much as possible. And sometimes you have to embrace that. But it's one of those, it's like you've said on numerous times, Mike, it's fine margins. And I guess when you think that you're that close and you're in the moment and you're right there on the line and you're wanting to play and go for the try, you feel like you're capable of doing that. And you sort of just, you go with it and you fly with it. And I guess that's what Zebre tried to do. And in hindsight, maybe it backfired, but they felt like they could do what they wanted. They felt like they could do it. So I guess you have to sort of, or runs up and say, well, that's just what Zebre want to do.
Yeah.
I just ask to everybody, Mike, in the chat, it's better a try or the penalty? So you can vote now live on YouTube. So we can see.
I think just to caveat everyone whilst you're doing this, the question is, right, is it better to go for the guaranteed try out on the wing, which makes the kick really difficult, or is it better to try and go through the multi phases and grind out the try under the post guarantee? Like, that's really the question, right? Because I think, like, if the difference is between five and three, everyone's going to say, like, take the five, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, I hope next games we're going to see a shining Prisciantelli, Montemauri, Eden, Jesse Trulla, Pani Trulla, whoever is going to kick, to be better, because that is an area of the game where they can really, really improve in general. Also, not to arrive in that way to the end of the game, thinking, oh my God, yeah, I have to score a try to stay there, and then I have to hope, I have to kick and be better there. They miss a couple of kicks in the middle, and as we saw Benetton from long range kicking with Umaga in really key moments. That's something that we hope is going to happen for Zebre really, really soon. It was Dominguez's choice, but there are other two passes in the mid because there is Dominguez, there is Pani that should have attacked the line maybe, or there is Jesse, something different. So not right. only Dominguez, but Dominguez is the youngest, let's say, less experienced player there.
Yeah, he's been forced to sort of step up a lot as well due to the injury, because he was just a medical joker, right?
Yes,
he was a medical joker. I don't know if he's been
Until December. He had a contract until December. I think they renewed until the end of the season. So good for him. Good. Think about also Fusco injured and Jelic being away with the under 23.
Yeah, and he's probably going to be in the seventh circuit.
With the seven for the Olympics for us.
Yeah. But, interesting.
Come on, let's take a point about 24 tries, record breaker, Simone Gesi, because we're gonna speak about the Italian Six Nations selector, Italian selection in general. So, 24 tries, more than every zebra, more than the jersey of Marcello.
So, yeah.
More than Tevez.
Yeah.
But
that's amazing. No? And I was looking at the tries. He loves to score doubles. He loves to score doubles. Because this season, he scored 5 doubles this season. Not one, 5. And last season, he scored 2 doubles and an hat trick. So when he scored the one, you should have go to bet for the next one. So maybe we should do that, guys.
In place for us.
Look at this. Of course, the Dampak is from
Dan, Torino. On,
so Torino Juventus here. It's a big fight about it.
But
cool, no? Because he loves to score these tries. Is the perfect finisher at the moment.
Yeah, he just loves it, doesn't he? Like he is the. He's just cold-blooded. We need more players like that. We need more assassins in the team.
He's also like a bit like Erling Haaland in football. Like he just always seems to be in the right place at the right time as well. And like for a winger, you know, one of those tries in particular for Zebre, he literally just catches the ball and dives over. Like anyone could have done it, but you need players that are there and. Wingers that hold their width, they're always there, and he seems to just always be there. And he scores all different types of tries where he can break a few tackles and scamper through a wall. He just scores the simple finishes, but you need someone that can do all of those.
He's got a little bit of Ashton about him. Do you know what I mean? Like he was always in the right place. Poacher. Yeah, just absolute finisher. And we need that. We need that. We've needed that for a long time, you know? And Capuozzo is always another person who you can draw some parallels there as well. So, I'm chuffing him. He deserves it. He deserves everything that's coming to him. He deserves the call up, and hopefully we see him rewarded for this fine form, and hopefully he can continue it in the Six Nations. You know,
is Ioane definitely? Has he been ruled out at all yet, or is it just
no comms?
Or is no comms?
No comms.
Because Padovani's come in today, isn't he?
Yeah, so in theory they are 35 now in the in the squad, because the way Ioane tackled Vunipola is his classic style when he came running out of the line, tackling from outside inside, like on the blind side of the player, but. Mm. It's not always like Ramos. Sometimes it's Vunipola in front of you, the number 8. So that was pretty hard. He really was almost knocked out there.
Yeah, I think you've seen some birds. The funny, I mean, obviously it's never funny, but the funny thing was Billy's reaction. He just sort of like looked down.
Did someone just try and tackle me or something?
You know what? Kinda Joe Marler and Faf de Klerk in the game when you throw him away.
So, and he does that backwards run, just stands up. That little athletic goblin that is Faf de Klerk.
A couple of stats, guys, about Jesse, if you like.
Stat man.
Big Lucio with the update. We can see that he beat 30 defenders, most than every Italian player in the national selection, on 78 carries, 11 tries, 16 clean breaks. So he's one of the most utilized player with the Pani, for example, for carries, Lorenzo Cannone and Seb Negri. A couple of stuff.
Those are stats. Those are good stats.
Yeah, we have to get better on the table one. You know what seems getting better on the aerial game is getting better. And we need more and more of that to be like, it's not Freddy Stewart, of course, but we have to think he's going to be challenged in case from a player like that, or he has to take some hard players on the wing. So let's see what's going to happen. But with Johanne being in this situation.
Yeah, we talked about it. We talked about it last week, didn't we, Mike, when we said that at what point do you throw him in and at what point do you give him a chance? And it's like, if he's been playing this way for, you know, it's not just this season. He had a very good season last season, and it's a season and a half almost of playing sort of the top of his game. It's like, that seems like quite a lot of time. It's not like he's played 3 or 4 or 5 good games and has been thrust into a squad like sort of other players in other national setups that sort of have a couple of good games, get thrown in straight away and start a cap. But he seems like he's had ample time at club level. It feels like he's probably ready to be challenged now. I feel like at least he's at least ready for a bit of exposure. I don't think it's unreasonable to suggest that he gets some minutes.
No, absolutely, I agree. Go on, Otto.
I was thinking, because the game was a really tough game, so think about, because you have few seconds to think about who was a kind of guy. And so let's go.
And now it's time for the unsung hero of the week for Zebre.
The unsung hero of the week for Zebre.
Hey, I always go first. No. This is your turn now, Otto. I always go first. Go on, Otto.
My turn. It's not so unsung, but I love a lot the way Pani manages his game. We know there are stuff to handle better, but I loved how confident he is now. And we need that kind of confidence. So, yes, please, he is my guy.
I think one thing for everyone, like, because, you know, sometimes a couple of comments about the unsung. The unsung for me is a person that doesn't get as much plaudits and is net positive. So, like, yeah, they can make mistakes in the game, but actually, if their contributions are more net positive than they are net negative, those are sort of the players that we're looking at.
Yeah.
And I think it seems like such a cop-out to go for, like, Zambonin again, but he's he scored a try. Like, do you know what I mean? If I wasn't going to say it this week, when he's actually, like, I've been saying it for the past, you know, few weeks, that he's always there. He's all, Giraffe Boy's doing his thing. Giraffe Boy came through this week.
Yeah. Right? He was going to be, he was mine as well. He stole my time.
He's, do you know what I mean? He's just thereabouts. He's a great shout, but I saw Dan just message. Dan, he's great. He is so good.
I was looking at the some stats for that. We can see Zambonin stole three lineout and Ruzza 4. So think about in the national for the national team. That's good. Nocera is getting better. Rizzoli was really like submitted in the scrum, but Nocera did really well, and it's hard, Nocera. It's an hard player. It's tall. It's an Andrew Sheridan-ish tall.
He's 6'3", isn't he?
kind of. Yeah. And he has to get better and better in the scrum because then he has his style of play. He loves to use a lot his hand to almost pick the player and push him away. No fending, just pick him and go away.
A la Bullet, let's be honest. That's what he was known for. Right? Yeah.
Like a caveman.
I completely agree. If he can get better at propping up the scrum, and he has gotten so much better from last season, mate, he's going to be a weapon. He's going to be an absolute weapon. So, fingers crossed.
Two turnovers won from Nocera.
Boom. Stuff we love to see.
Yep. A big injury. Let's think about that too. He came back after injuries. He already had a sore body, let's say. But it's good. It's good the way he did. So, we have two. For Zambo, Nocera, Pani are the guys. Are the maybe not so unsung, but let us know, guys, what you think. But these are ours for now. Let's move on. Let's move on in 20 minutes. Wow, 20 minutes, guys. Perfect. So before moving on the Benetton, let's save our supporter break so we can keep going.
Performance analysis in sport has never been easier. LongerMatch is the right tool for coaches, analysts, and athletes. If you want to learn more about, please visit longermatch.com. Start analyzing your games today.
Fancy.
And here we go. Fancy extra, as usual. Benetton. Garbisi versus Garbisi, as we said on Instagram. Meanwhile, in Treviso. So please, guys, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, everywhere. We are getting good engagement, but we want more and more from you. So let us know what you think about what we are producing as a podcast. But Garbisi versus Garbisi. First of all, March Mike, who won the challenge between them? The junior?
Yeah, for me.
Mike. For me, too. Even if it wasn't so good, nobody, it was a draw.
Neither one were brilliant.
That's my feeling.
Too much pressure on them.
Yeah,
almost certainly.
It must be hard. Like, I can't imagine going up against my brother. Like, I just,
that's true too.
It'd be such a weird situation, weird scenario.
Shout out to the big Josh, Zebre supporter, Challenge Cup playoffs. Here we come. Well done. Well done. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard, but depends also the way you always being with your brother, right? If there was some aid, that was the right moment to challenge them. But hey, they feel the pressure. Wasn't a good game at all for Paolo, to be honest.
Can we talk about this a little bit?
Yes.
Like, not to disparage.
Talk about a little bit, and then we go on Benetton, but it's an issue at national level.
If you take out like some of like the mistakes, like kicking to touch and all that stuff, right, where like he didn't have like the best day off the boot, the kicks in game are going to be a concern, though, if Quesada wants to actually start utilizing that as a bit of a weapon.
As a weapon.
Like, nothing kicks don't work in Test rugby, especially nothing kicks against the Six Nations, because pretty much all of them have someone in the backfield to punish you if you do a nothing kick, right?
So absolutely.
That's one area, and it's not his fault because he hasn't been, you know, utilized as a 10 for, you know, the best part of the season. It's not his fault, right? But it's something that we do need to be like cognizant of going into the Six Nations. It's going to be something that's going to be targeted. People are going to start looking at that, and we're going to be forced into kicking battles because people know that's not our strength, right? So just something to be aware of.
That's what I was going to say. It's not even necessarily something that people will or teams will play on. It's more of an issue with also how we want to play, because we want to play further down the pitch, and you have to in international rugby. You have to, you know, you've got to pick your moments, and nothing kicks will be punished by every single one of those teams in Six Nations. You know, any back three in that tournament, if you kick loosely, you're just in massive, massive trouble. And So when we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, so through the World Cup, there's a lot of talk, and we played Garbisi at 12, and there's a lot of talk about the fact that he will be playing at 12 a lot more. And now the conversation seems to have moved back to him being the 10. So I wonder where we are really with that, because obviously Menoncello being back and Brex and obviously Mori played very well at the weekend off the bench as well. Like, are we now in a position where we're trying to put Garbisi in just because we want him on the pitch? And I don't really know where we see him going, because a couple of months ago it was Garbisi's going to play 12. That's going to be his position. That's where we're going to want to play him. So who are we then playing at 10 type thing? So what are your thoughts on Paolo and where we see him in the blue shirt?
Should I start? I'm trying to go. So think about starting from Montpellier this year. They won five games out of 8 games. Garbisi was the 10, and they won the game. So this is crazy thinking about that. At 12, Carbonell, the whole rest of the games. Let me recheck how many games he played this year.
That's good, because Carbonell's not a bad player. Carbonell's a very, yeah, very good 10.
Actually, sorry, less, because he played 1, 2, 3 games at 10, and he won two games against Lyon, against Ospreys. I thought also the times he played for against Romania and Japan at 10. But Montpellier is weird the way they are playing. It's straight lines, but they don't attack the ball properly. I don't like the way the Willems and the other ones are performing. Garbisi tried to do something, but it seems like everything disconnected there. And we need a 10. Quesada spoke about him today at the Guinness Media Press Six Nation about like being a 12 too. He said that too today during the conference, which is maybe is giving us a little bit of insight where can be too. If we want to play something different, 13 in some situation. But Garbisi needs to play. He has to be free of mind, and I don't think Montpellier is the right mindset where to be now with Bert Laporte and all the rest of them. So probably changing is going to get better for him.
Saracens and Toulon is the
open. Seems like.
Yeah. Those are the two that have been floated. And
Mike, you.
For me, right, like, but I'm going to start with the last point, because I think it's the most important point, because I 100% agree with you, Otto. I think he needs to find himself again. He needs to find a style of play that suits him. And if you look at his under-20s, when he was playing with Varney, he was very anglicized, very disciplined. His exits were incredibly, just like what I would expect from like a really mature English 10, like a typical English 10. He plays like an English 10. Like he's not particularly flary, but he controls the game very well, like a George Ford. Just kicks like when he needs to kick. And that seems to have gone throughout his time in France, because obviously they adapt a style of play. And I think Loubo says it all the time. Obviously, he lived in France. In Montpellier, it's more important to play a flashy brand of rugby than to win. They like, and we don't have the luxury of that mentality in Italian rugby. We sort of went with the ride last year because it was beautiful, like what we were watching. But actually, I think all of us would have wanted 3 wins in a really crappy game, right? I think every single one of us would. That said, I think if he were to go to someone like Saracens, that'd be, I think that would do wonders for his game. So that aside, I think he's a player who needs confidence, and we need to get behind him in this Six Nations. But if you were to ask me, if he sees him playing at 12, why didn't he call Marin up? I know he's been injured, I know, but like if genuinely we're bringing Garbisi as a 10-12, then we're probably going to play him at 12, which means that we have one 10, why didn't we bring another 10, 12, you know? Just maybe that's what Bardo's in for, maybe.
Well, maybe, oh, maybe.
And is Tommy Allen at 10 a non-starter for everybody?
No. Tommy Allen's our 10. Tommy Allen starts 10 for me.
I think so too. Think about how Muscular can be the center pair with Minocello, Mori, Zanon, Brex, these Brex, how he looks shiny, let's say 2 weeks ago. But for now, people vote. 79% wants Tommy to start on Paolo, maybe bench or out of a 6+2.
That is crazy. That is crazy to think that Garbisi doesn't even get in a match day squad.
Well, let's see. But guys, Alan was perfect from the kicking tee, and that is key for our style of play. We need that. He has those 70 plus cup are really strong, and you can feel when he play. And I think Tommy Allen is great. Garbisi, I hope to Garbisi to step up during this Six Nation, and from there we can think about how it's gonna change everything. Yes, another shining player. Yes, we're gonna speak about him in a bit. Yeah. The 22 shirt for Phantom. Okay, then, guys, I already want to speak about the 5+3, 6+2. How we gonna go for the England team? But let's focus on Benetton for a few minutes, because I think they deserve. Like, I call it the counterattack rugby, like contropiede, literally, because you have in soccer, a player that miss a pass, you can get that pass, you can go straight to the net and score. And that was the same. Dirty situation and a great, like a Cannavaro style with Albornoz, Albornoz, Lamaro, let's say, like 2006. So for me, that was Quince. Counter-attack. Very Quince.
It was. Yeah, I was watching it with my best mate, and he was like, Benetton remind me of Quinn's 2020-2021 season. Like, they were just trying to run everything off a mistake. They were counter-attacking it. Like, the shape that they got into after a counter-attack, like the running lines and stuff, I was really impressed. Really impressed. They showed something more as well, in terms of what we've seen. So, yeah. It was just a brilliant game all round. I mean, like, if we can replicate some of that in the Six Nations, if we can force errors and capitalize off errors, then we're halfway there, you know.
Oh my God! Yes, please. Because then we have the rest of the stuff. We usually have always those kind of situation, like 3-4 years ago. Those are our situation, like, oh, maybe we stop a kick and we can try an intercept, but then we weren't able to multi-phase attack in a proper way, and now seems to click everything in Benetton, doing some stuff in Zebre, hopefully. March, would you, your thoughts about Benetton Montpellier?
So I was just going to say that I think, so we spoke about Benetton at the start of the season, winning games, drawing some, but getting good results with not scoring a lot of tries, but the attack in the last sort of 4 or 5 games seems to have clicked again quite nicely, and we're seeing a lot more tries, a lot more attacking rugby, and that seems to be what we were looking for in those first sort of 5-6 games of the season. So they're clicking into gear, aren't they? And they've got players that are just banging form, and I think when you're winning games and you're scoring tries and you've got players that are just hitting all the right notes, confidence-wise, this team looks like a side that are just absolutely flying at the moment, and they just can't be stopped, and they're just on a high, and they're running with it. And I think I picked out Albornoz as my unsung hero last week, did I? I think so.
Ho-ho.
And then he's sort of the standout man this week. I mean, again, he was really good. Loved watching him play. He scored a really nice try. How many points did he get? I think he got 21 points, I think. or he scores a quite, he scores a lot of the Benetton's points in that game.
Like when you need it, he's there and was ready. Like seems like he's stronger. It's faster, like Phantom said. No, that speed of winger, he ran away from wingers. Actually, that's pretty accurate about the way he's playing. And always this, like, do you remember a couple of, at the beginning of the season, no, that kick retained by from a box kick of Uren's kick? Then he attacked and he scored. He loves to play in, like, after a break. He loves it.
Instinct player, isn't it?
Very good in midfield.
Yeah, hopefully we're gonna see him with the Pumas soon because he deserves it. At the moment, he's one of the best 10. But let's see what with Conte Pomi, because Conte Pomi was there even last couple of years, and and Trentino Domenico, the last Ratave.
Whoa, I was just about to mention Ratave actually.
Yes,
I mean he's been fantastic, isn't he?
Yeah, he's do you know what Bracciola is? Yeah,
la Bracciola mangia tante Bracciola.
He's one. He's just this little chunk of meat, right? He's absolutely murdering people.
He is beef,
but he's not a porchetta. He's a Bracciola, guys. He's definitely a Bracciola. Talking about Bracciola and Ratave. Let's talk about the second try, no? Ratave's try. So that situation was pretty hard to defend by Benetton because there was Zuliani on the ground with the medical service in the field. Ratave was alone, so Lucchesi pushed hard on Paolo Garbisi. The pass was under pressure, not good pass. Ratave attacked really strong the line to get off the line and close the option outside because it was one against four players, and Ratave scores. That was amazing because it was great red, the pressure from Lucchesi, the way he understand the situation, Ratave, to mettere una pezza, to stop, no? Yeah. The flood there was great. The fireman.
Yeah. Mate, he's an animal, and actually
he can sell some calendar.
Yeah, wearing, definitely in Benetton, definitely in Treviso, he'd do right. I was going to say, like you, there's a player that I was going to highlight as well as my unsung hero, and you spoke about him, so I'm just going to talk about him now. Unless you've got something fancy for us.
Yes, I have always something fancy for you.
It's time for the unsung hero of the week for Treviso.
Always. What? On the
So, uh-huh. Yeah, for me, Lucchesi was brilliant. Forced to come on after an injury, fronting up against those orcs from Montpellier. Those guys are like ogres. They're just these giant men, and he was putting his face in places that he shouldn't have been putting his face into. You know, 2 weeks before the Six Nations, and just the bravery, like the tenacity, and you know, he made mistakes, but he was so far net positive that game. He was just everywhere, right? Yeah, so he fronted up hard, and purely because, like I said, he was forced to play a lot longer than he expected as well. So the psychology behind that, sometimes players take a little while to warm up, but he just went straight in, did his job, knew what he was going to do, and he did it well.
March. Here there is some suggestion about Spagnolo in the field, juggling and leaving the field. Quasimodo.
Yeah. I'd probably go along with that, really. I'm always trying to pick forwards out because I just tend to watch the backs more, but I feel like all of them were not really unsung. So maybe Spagnolo, I think. Again, like we've talked about many times, he's such a mobile forward. He's good in the scrum, you guys tell me anyway. I enjoy watching him play. He's good. And I just think Benetton are quite consistently, you know, there are so many players that just keep having good games. But Albanos, really enjoy watching him. play. He's someone that I just wouldn't be able to shy away from, really.
I also thought Lamaro had a good game coming off the bench as well. He looked quite good.
Man, the pass under pressure for the try.
Two turnovers as well from memory. Like straight away, as soon as he came on, he did a turnover, I believe, like straight away.
Impact. Wow. Think about that. I think so. Let me check the stats because...
I just remember him coming into the point where they were, you know, like the pendulum had swung into their side and they were being slightly more aggressive. They were getting a little bit more in the exchanges at the contact point. And he came in and he really was a spanner in the works for them because, like, he just started, like, trying to challenge everything, really dirtied and slowed down the breakdown. They had slow ball. He was good. He was what a captain should do. He was there. So maybe Lamaro's the kind of guy that needs a bit between his teeth. Maybe he needs to be challenged like that. Maybe he needs to prove people wrong. But he came out and he did really well.
Yes, I think he's my unsung hero for that pass, that situation in attack, and the fact that the captain came from the bench and is there. Seven turnovers once this season in nine games, 99 tackles, is almost hitting the hundreds. Itzegor for now is the most the best tackler for Benetton, 150. Lorenzo Cannone joined the 100.
He hit, did 26 tackles last game.
97% Itzegor and 5 turnover won. So
26 tackles last game.
Yes. Just to give you the idea, Lamaro is the best juggler. The turnover won by Lamaro are 7, Zuliani 6, Itzegor 5, and Lorenzo Cannone 5. So we have a specialist 7, seems like, and he's not Zuliani. So good to have both, right?
Yeah. On that side of the... He's found form at the right time, Otto. Like, there was a conversation, you know, I think it was during the World Cup or just after the World Cup, where I was like, he's a confidence player as well. Like, he needs his head up and maybe he needs to start proving people wrong. And like I said, he absolutely did that this weekend. He really showed why he owns that 7 shirt. So good on him. Well done.
Look here. I don't know. No, I'm reading a lot of Paolo. I'm reading now stuff. Vito now arrived. Miguel, you know. I think about this. Bracciola with lemon juice. I think about Radave still. Let me check one thing more, because now it's going to be interesting to understand about Padovani, what Padovani is going to bring to the team, because we saw him for Benetton, but he's going to be really important in the, we say, nell'economia del gioco, like how he's going to change the way Italy is going to play. So let's go from Padovani, because we knew the way he play at Benetton is usually on the wing, because Raino, let's say, is the 15 for the Benetton, sometimes Umaga, sometimes him. But from Padovani, how are we going to arrange our back three? Because let's go straight to the point for the national team, because that is going to be the issue. Then we can
the best thing to do is to name our back three and then go from there, and then we can talk about it. Mike, you're up. Go on then.
For me, I think it's if Juan is out, has to be Jersey, and then I think it's Pani on the right wing, and then I think it's Pardo at fullback, or either or those two, and I think Capuozzo, unfortunately, is on the bench. Me,
Capuozzo bench on a 5+3, Mike. How is gonna be
England.
Your?
Are we talking specifically for England?
Look, in let's say general, but of course we're gonna
general. Yes, 5-5. Yeah, generally yes, but against England, I think it's 6-2.
So if Monty's fit, he starts for you.
Yeah, that's the point. If Monty's fit, you're going to start. Okay. It's interesting that.
It's tough because I think we got a bit of recency bias here because obviously we've seen Jersey absolutely light up and he deserves a shot, right? He absolutely does deserve a shot. But also, Monty's been our best back for so long. Like last year, he was breaking records, Six Nation records for like post-meter contacts made. And like, unless we just forget that, you know, like he was an absolute animal last year. I suppose it's if he's in camp and Quesada deems him better, then I'm not going to question it. If he thinks Jersey's better, then fine. Like, I'm not upset about who gets picked on the left wing. I don't think Aporto gets stuck. I don't think Aporto starts for me, sadly.
So let us know in general, because you can update every week, every time you want. You can update the fan selection, so you can change your squad by form, by choices, by injuries, because as you can see, Padovani was already being called because we put it already. We were like looking in the future already a couple of weeks ago when we put Padovani anyway in the list. So he's the second choice at the moment. And people actually prefer Ioane on the right wing than Bruno. But I think performance-wise, probably Bruno showed something worse. The fact that Ioane didn't play a lot, three games this season. Absolutely. Yeah, that's probably key. While we have to go look for something different on the wing. For now, we have Jesse, Allan, Capozzo most voted. With Jesse, 54 votes. Points, sorry.
A
points.
Lot, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a lot. For you, the back three?
So for my back three, first of all, I'm not going to put Allan here, but Allan is my 10 at the beginning. So there, I would like to start like a crazy, not so crazy, because I cannot, probably Padovani on the wing more than Bruno, Pani 15 and Jesse 11. So that is leaving Pani 15 and moving Padovani on the right wing. That's my more than Bruno, this time Padovani on the right wing. That's my idea.
Why neither of you Capozzo out of interest?
Capozzo can break the game for me. So that's why it didn't start.
Two for me. One, I love watching him play against tired legs. Scotland 2 years ago, where he comes on, scores two tries straight away. We were using him in that capacity under Kieran, like early, before I think injuries dictated otherwise. And secondly, I don't think he's good enough aerially or has the boot. Every good coach will analyse what players he has there and what like the ingredients are for a really good team. It seems ridiculous that we have this absolute cannon of a left right boot from Pani and we're not utilising it. Like, it just seems, particularly in today's test rugby where it's so aerially dominant, it just seems ridiculous that we wouldn't utilise that. And he's 6'4". He's good in the air. Like, there's so many positives. So if we're looking at Capuazzo as like a false nine in football, where he's just out and out, like, you know, great in attack, but you're not expecting him to make a tackle, then great. But that's not a fullback. That's not a fullback in rugby. Like, that's potentially what you'd have on a wing if you want a Darcy Graham or someone like that. Fine. But in test rugby, I think we've suffered and people have caught us out so many times because we're not good at kick chasing and we're not good at kicking and we're not good aerially. That needs to change. That just needs to change.
I think if we're looking at all of this because of we're playing England in the first game, I think given my only concern with Jesse, so I know I've picked him up and said he's needs exposure, I'm not sure I'm throwing him in from the start. I think I agree with Ottavia, and I think Paravani should start just because aerially and being able to kick the ball, and then Pani as well. And
but I think for this game, maybe next game is going to be Capozzo. But if I think about how they can put the game England, like worst case scenario, if they play well, actually, if they play shit, if the game is weird, they cannot do something, they're going to start kicking this ball and they go traditional. Like they can do really well. And that is something that really bothers me. Think about how we're going to fight against that.
It's different horses for different courses, right? That's the saying that's said a lot here. And right now, the horses that we need are horses that can jump high kick and, you know, can make tackles and compete in the air. So those are the horses that we need to pick. England are going to come in with a very, very set-piece dominant attack. We know what we get from Borthwick. He's going to love a line out. He's going to love a scrum. And they're probably going to do a lot of strike plays with Ollie Lawrence and potentially Slade outside him to unleash the wingers. We know what we're going to get from Borthwick. So what we need to do is look at the best defensive back three that we have and then just hope that we're in position on the pitch to score tries and points. That's what's going to win us the game. If we win, right, I envision it's kicking at posts. Like, just, I don't imagine us running. I'd love to see us run it from deep. I just can't see it against England. They're just too good.
This is an interesting question from the chat. It's weird because along with Crowley, no one thought about Capozzo on the bench. Now more than one thinks about that. But why? I think it's connected with the balance of the back three. With Ioannis something, with Jesse maybe too light, too passive, kinda. Tigler's like tickle that goes down from the hips down, not a tickle that shoot the player there in the moment he's being tickled. I don't know how to, like, big hits. We need big hits too in the wing. Pani probably can do it. Padovani is more physical too, but maybe Capozzo, Jesse still are suffering this, and we cannot let neither on a float games going on. Maybe it's that for me, my opinion.
Yeah, also, I think just because Capozzo's come back from injury recently and he hasn't had much time, and
7 minutes last week.
Do you know what I mean? He just to go from 0 to 100 test rugby against a team that came third and was a point away from, you know, 2 points away from beating the world champions. It just seems a bit of a stretch. So I think, and also if you look back at that game, yes, they're maybe a little bit more tired than England into that game, but England dominated a lot of their forwards. Like, George Martin was everywhere. Like, we need to make sure that we protect Capozzo. So it's not even saying, oh, like, Capozzo won't make the team. Like, he could very well start in front of Pani on the right wing for me. Just we need to see more from him. He's not really played, you know.
It is. I can't wait for Capozzo not to start an ITV to absolutely lose their marbles, being like, oh my God, the best player in Italian rugby is not playing. What are they doing? What are they thinking? They would, wouldn't they? Like, Capozzo not playing will go down in sort of, especially over here, everyone will be wondering what on earth Hissar is thinking. They'll be calling for his head.
Yeah. I mean, also, Big Surge is calling out on ITV as well, so maybe he'll set him straight.
Well, that's going to be interesting. Let's see. Let's see what's going to be. Yes. A pundit. He's going to be a pundit.
Yes.
Let's see. Yes. Hey, he had a good connection with Quesada at Stade Francais. So he's not going to be maybe he's going to touch other points of the national team this time when he's going to speak.
Maybe he'll be very political.
Maybe less about mentality, more about supporting, I think. Can be something.
I don't know. Like, Paris has got a really good eye. Like, when he talks on ITV, he pulls like key moments in the game. But obviously, he knows his strength. So, like, same as Warburton always talks about the breakdown. like any opportunity, he will find something to point out at the breakdown. Like Baris is going to do the same about, you know, set piece. He's going to find something to talk about. And, you know, maybe he'll talk about the evolution. If we're talking about like what narrative he'll take, because obviously he's good friends with Quesada, maybe he'll talk about the evolution from last year and what we're going to see different this year. Maybe something like that.
He'll get about 2 minutes per game to talk about Italy, Mike. ITV will give about a minute each time to him, and then they'll say no more. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, at least we don't have Steve Woodward speaking this year.
Oh, thank fuck for that.
Thanks God. Clive Woodward, ciao, finally.
Oh, God. It's been boiling me for years. For years, that bloke. Oh, my God. Wow. Sorry.
No, it's
sorry, guys. I'm reading some of the chat. There are some really good stuff coming.
Yes, guys, the chat is blazing because there are a lot of 80 stuff.
80 comments.
Like
wow, Phantom's got a lot to say, hasn't he? That's unlike him.
Nothing new.
Michele, I really, I don't know if you can highlight that, Ottavio. Yeah, that one there. So for those listening, Michele has come in on the comments saying it's just a matter of defense. You can play with Capuozzo and Jezzy, just like South Africa play with Arendse and Colby, but Italian players are not as strong as South Africans in defense. So, that's the difference. On, yeah.
Today we were speaking about best defenders, dominant defenders, technique defenders.
Shall we get the comments to blow up? So, guys, just off topic.
Let's do it.
off topic. There's two criteria. One, hardest hitting players, past and present, and the other one is most consistent players, past and present. Like, as in, people who are best at technique, best at tackle completion, and then people who just, I don't know, atomize players going forward. Put your candidates in the chat.
Yeah, because we were going from the last one that we called was Brian Lima, of course, because the chiropractor was there in the middle.
But Courtney Laws as well, for Courtney like just Laws, absolutely murdering one. People. Like,
but we called also Italian. We said Favaro, for example, famous Favaro. Masi came in the chat too. Let me find the chat. The FDR family, the WhatsApp group. You can join us, just text us. So let's see.
I said Mauro Bergamasco, like in his prime, he was very consistent. He wasn't that heavy a hitter. Oh, this has well come up a lot, Vito.
Oh, lot. Yes. What a player.
Who?
He's come up a lot, in fairness.
Thierry.
Dusatuar. Thierry Dusatuar, Josh Lusey from Eduardo. I call Carlo Tizzano very Hooper-esque, say something. Ward Barton, Marcello. We said Conrad Smith, more on all-around defender. Dan Lidiate, the best chop tigler of all time as well. Mr. Richie Mecco. Jacques Burger.
That was a good shout by you, actually. I can't believe it took me so long to see that name pop up.
No, Eduardo is the defensive like special, it seems like, because he wrote also Johnny Gray, Jerome Kaino, then Nico said Serge Batson. We have good name. I saw Colby for technique because the little guy was good when he tackled there, but very good. Like Michele loved then lady there. Sam Underhill. Cool. Yes.
Yeah. He was the first person I thought about when it came to technique. And then I remembered that he knocked himself out like a trillion times last season.
That's what I was going to say about Lee Halfpenny, because he knocked himself out a few times, but his tackle technique was always pretty good.
So I'm gonna tell Mauro Bergamasco this soon. Don't worry, yeah. Phantom. I'm gonna tell him,
he'll be knocking on
and then
door.
He's gonna give you his address. And, yeah, you can sort it out for this point.
In Kent, he's gonna come in Kent looking for you, looking for your dogs. He's gonna come like that. Halfpenny, look, Simone. Somebody said Halfpenny too.
Yeah,
that was fun.
Me.
We got about them half penny.
So
what?
To transition back, right? Yes, those are the differences. Like Kurt Lee and Colby are just great in the air. They're very, very aggressive and contact dominant. Like Colby knocks down forwards when he runs forward, you know? Whereas Capuozzo is known for his agility and his evasiveness, and his physicality is not the same. And although I'm sure he does have a cultured boot, I don't know if he's not confident utilizing it, because I'm trying to think, like, you know, his kicking didn't astound me. So yeah, just that's why he's on the bench for me. But like I said, I wouldn't be upset if he took Barney's if he plays well. So no.
Just to close the selector for now, the squad is composed by Fischetti, Lucchesi, Ceccarelli, Nicolò Cannone, Ruzza, Negri Cannone, Lamaro, Varney, Gerbisi, Brex Menoncello, but we should speak a little bit about Mori before closing everything, guys, because he was our guest. Maybe we are the lucky guys to have him, or maybe he is the lucky guy to have us before the match. Who knows? Jesse, Allan, Capuozzo. So for now, this is the team. Mori, guys, 40 minutes of rage against the machine. It was fantastic, Mori, this week. Like,
yeah,
running on people, nice defending wise, was so good. In line, always flat, and then tackle. He can be dominant. He has to learn how to be dominant using more the shoulder, but much better. Yes, that's good. Somebody understand it. Guerrilla Radio. Yes, Mori, good guys.
Yep, really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed that little cameo from him. He's also deceptively got really quick feet. He looks like he's lost a little bit of timber that I thought he had. I thought he was a little bit heavy, but he looks like he's leaned out quite a bit, and he now looks like a really fit machine, as he said. And yeah, especially off the bench, like, he's a great option. He's going to be a great option coming off the bench in the last sort of 20 minutes of games, I think. He's a weapon.
And the hit with Hawkins, because he smashed his face against Hawkins. Hawkins fell on the floor, knocked out almost, and he keep running. And then that knock on, but still. And the red card for Hawkins, there was like comedian stuff.
Yeah, it's like kicking a man whilst he's down. Josh, I was literally about to say it. So Lupo and I have been speaking about Mori since early 2020. I think probably the under 20s.
When none of you had a beard.
Yeah. Back when we were baby-faced. And my one criticism of him has always been his defensive positioning, because, you know, like, it's something that's taught, right? Like, he came into rugby late. I think he was a hurdler, right, prior to himself. So like, he was one of those where he was still learning the game, and now that he's getting game time and he seems a lot happier in himself, like, where he is, we're seeing him sort of come out of his shell and show a bit more of his potential. Like that try celebration, you can see that he really enjoys what he's doing. So for me, as long as he keeps getting game time and he starts developing his soft skills a little bit more. So I don't ever envision Mori doing like a grubber kick to set someone up. But like, for example, I never thought I'd see him kick chase. And it was a really good kick chase at the weekend on the right wing when he got the ball. He's getting there. Like he could be a very, very, very good player for us in the future. Like, very good player for us. And he's not that far off.
He's definitely leaned out though, isn't he? Like, he has.
I'm not too sure. He was 103 kilos.
I'm looking at him now from, like, maybe 2 years ago, and he's he definitely looks chunkier, and now he looks a little bit leaner.
I don't know. Like, I remember some stats, though, and this was from a interview that I need to try and find when he first came in, where they were talking about who the strongest player was in the team. And I think it was 20 at the time in 2020 when Franco Smith was coach. He was benching 180 kilos. Like, for those of you guys who lift, like, at 20 years old, benching 180 kilos is disgustingly powerful. Like, disgustingly powerful. Like,
guys, we should put a hat on him, like the famous TikToker, super lean, that goes around.
Oh, Michele, did you say 113 kilos? Yeah, that sounds about right, in fairness. That sounds about right. That sounds about right.
Massive.
He's a big man.
I like the ponytail, too.
And one thing about Bayonne, Emede Rico Buliruarua, the center that is playing now, that played when Mori was injured, next year is moving to Perpignan. So another spot more for Mr. Federico Maori, Kiko Maori Mori there. So good.
Good. Long may continue. Let him get game time. Let him improve. Yeah. Let him be happy. Let him
guys,
come to
the
us
think about we're going to play, we're going to play like a crazy with Menoncello on the wing, Jesse on the other wing, Morrissey 12, 13 breaks. Think about all crazy stuff. Quesada is going to surprise us.
Yeah. It's funny. Like, again, my friend was watching the game with me, and I pulled up on WhatsApp when I spoke to him about Mori, because from time to time, he's like, he always asked me about someone to look out for. April 2020 was when we were talking about it. So, like,
that's true.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Mamma mia, that's amazing. So, guys, I think it's everything for this week, right? Because let's talk about the next games, when is going to be time of those games for Benetton and Zebre. Because for now, we are just happy guys with the two Italian franchise qualified for the Challenge Cup playoffs, which is great. Think about 1 year ago. Man, Zebre did well. Benetton did better, let's say, because lose less games than ever. So, really crazy time for Italian rugby. So, Mike, before we move, this week we have big stuff coming, because we're gonna have a new podcast in Italian with some English, hopefully at the beginning. So we're gonna have on Friday night, it's gonna be Friday Night Lights with Jack Sparrow.
Right.
Jack Ferrari,
Captain Jack.
Yes, we're gonna have Captain Jack Giacomo Ferrari from Zebre. So Friday night, see you here. And we have good stuff. We're going to record with Leo giovedì mattina. I can just give a tip. Like, he became dead really recent in the last month. That's what I can say about it. So go check around. He's Italian. Somebody mention him in the chat. Somebody mentioned him earlier in the chat, so go through the chat and check it. It's gonna be funny. Okay, somebody said Mori 100. Yeah, the hurdler was the ankle, because he won the European.
I was just gonna mention that, actually, Dan. I was just looking through that. I think it's yesterday. Yeah, a hammer thrower.
Yeah, his sister.
The sister. Yeah, Rachele. Rachele Mori.
If you ask who would win in a fight out of him and his sister, because that was a wasted question, otherwise.
Ooh, look, I have a lot of questions for him about Pablo Dimchev, dogs, 5-5 classic stuff in Livorno. So in a couple of months, we're going to have it again to end, because I want to learn more about Urios, because the crazy guy, it's funny.
He was mad, man.
Man, it was crazy. Man. Crazy guy.
Is our sevens team going to the Olympics? Have I missed that?
Well, I mean, like, every team has a sevens team, right? That's why I was saying about Jenny.
I still thought there was a qualification for that.
I don't think so.
No,
Is there not?
No, guys, we are out of the sevens.
Oh, so there's no sevens for the Olympics for us.
I mean, Dan can tell us more, but I don't think we have to do all the process for that.
I mean,
then yeah. We're gonna look
seems,
for
seems
it.
Seems like a bit of a waste, right?
Man, but when you don't have a real specific group of players that play only seven, everything gets harder. You know,
isn't that what Fiamme d'Oro is for?
Who knows? Maybe Fiamme Gialle, maybe Fiamme Oro, maybe no Fiamma. Who knows?
Just d'Oro. Yeah, right.
Look, out of the process. Before everything, out of process. Nah. Now, this is the bad thing about Italian rugby. The seven sucks in Italy.
How?
Well, we can open a politic situation about how to improve the seven. Why there's no seven in Italy? But who?
Italy, get some league players down. Dan, we'll get some Australian league players to play sevens for us, don't we?
Yeah.
We're fine.
Good seven player. We need that.
Gents, fun we've fact. Also...
Look at this.
I was just going to say, we've also got the Six Nations series is out tomorrow, isn't it? Starts on Netflix.
Yes. Ooh, watch along.
Two days or tomorrow? Tomorrow is 23.
No, it's Wednesday. I think it's out. 24.
Wednesday. Okay, should we put a VPN from US so it's going to be easier to quicker than everything, buddy?
Yeah. Well, good idea. We'll watch it a day in advance.
North VPN, if you are here, just let us know.
It's about Farrell, isn't it? Is the first one about Farrell?
No, I think it's Andrew Porter, the first one.
The number two is about Negri. Yes, Big Seb, our big friend.
Is it one episode every week?
No, all together.
All together, is it?
I did see someone talk about it, and they said that Kieran Crowley came across very, very well.
We have to embrace the fear, Mike. What is that?
We do have to embrace the fear. There's going to be a lot of fears at this Six Nations, I tell you. And also, very quickly, those of you who are going to be in Rome, let us know. We want to speak to you. We want to talk to you. We're going to do a live. It'd be great to have you guys there. Let us know in the comments if you're going to be there. It'd be great to meet up, have a drink, have two drinks, maybe one, maybe two, maybe more,
maybe three.
Watch a game. Let us know. Right?
I'm very jealous, man. Jealous. I've also realized me and Federico Mori have the same birthday. Just seeing.
No way, man. Yeah, that's great.
You're a few years older than him, all right?
I am. Yeah, I'm 4 years older than the bloke, and he's about. He'd eat me, Jesus!
You know, you know what I realized the other day. You look like Tom Young, like Thomas Young, like a miniature version of Thomas Young. You do. Facially, you look just like he does. He does. He looks just like him facially. I was watching him play, absolutely tearing up. I'm like, if March put on like a few kegs and probably grew a few inches, that's him. That's him. That's him. Down to the tee.
It's gonna be him.
Yeah, he looks like him. He looks just like.
Can't say that our rugby stars were the same though.
That's right.
He goes looking to make tackles. I used to run away from him.
Yeah, he's going to be a weapon for Wales that we need to be worried about. He's been called up, hasn't it? This time. Yeah.
Yep. It's gonna be interesting. Yep. Wales game is Jesse's game because he was really good against Rio Dyer. If I have to think now to put together the two games. Last game against Dragons was really good against the Rio Dyer, which is actually should be the wings. No, Josh Adams is playing there. Kai Evans is. No, come on. Kai Evans is not a player for me, but I really don't like that guy.
I think we're probably going to see the Welsh boys start for England. I can't pronounce his surname. Do you know which one I'm on about? What it's like. Oh, I can't even.
No, I don't even, say.
But you don't say it. We're getting cancelled. I think he'll probably start against us because I want him capped. Or he'll be on the bench against us because I want him capped. But he's going to be an interesting one to watch out for. He's been absolutely tearing it up.
Looking forward for the Six Nation. We're going to have another pod coming next week, and then it's going to be in Italy England week already. Two new podcasts, Italian English mixed. Plus, we're gonna have a coaching corner, a specific coaching corner about lineout. It's gonna be pretty interesting coming soon. And that's it for today. Marcello, Mike, thank you so much for being here with us as usual, being together. Let's say being with us, being together. And thanks to all the chat, because the chat was nice today. So, see you next week. No, actually, no. See you on Friday for Jack.
Yes.
Jack Ferrari on Friday. Yeah.
Captain Jack.
Captain Jack. Good night, everybody. And see you here again on Fratelli di Rugby.
Welcome to Fratelli di Rugby Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Drop us a follow on X, former Twitter, and follow us on Instagram and TikTok. You can listen for Fratelli di Rugby Podcast on Spotify and every other platforms. We also have a group chat on WhatsApp. So message us to join the family.